Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Chant makes a comeback. This is Soundcheck. I'm David Cruz, in for John Schaefer today. Coming up later on our show, New Jersey-based singer-songwriter Nicole Atkins performs live in the studio, and we'll hear what the Bible has to say about music. Pretty soon, Catholic churches across the land could be echoing with the sounds of music like this, 13th century chant. Pope Benedict XVI is considering a dramatic overhaul of the Vatican in order to bring back traditional sacred music. Not only does he want to widen the use of Gregorian chant and Baroque sacred music, but he also wants to get rid of the folk-style masses that have dominated for the last 40 years. Joining us today are two Vatican watchers. With us first is Damian Thompson. He's a writer for London's Daily Telegraph and editor-in-chief of the Catholic Herald. He joins us on the line from London. Damian, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you.
So why has the Pope made shaking up music part of his agenda?
Because the Pope has a much wider agenda of improving the liturgy of the Catholic Church generally. That means not just the words of the service and the rubrics of the service and the prayer life of the Church, but also the music of the Church, which I think most people would agree has been in a pretty sorry state for the last 40 years.
What is the scope of this shakeup? Are we talking about wholesale chains?
Yes, I think we are. The Pope has acted to improve the standard of music in the Vatican and in Rome, which is appallingly bad. I have to say, I was in a big Roman basilica a couple of years ago, a service at which the Pope was officiating, and the music was unbelievably bad. Not folk style; it was just a very, very bad choir. It was the Sistine Chapel choir. So he's trying to get things right at the center, but also he wants to promote the use of traditional Catholic music. That's everything from Gregorian chant to, as you said, Baroque masses throughout the wider church. And I think there's tremendous appetite for that now.
And so you wrote an op-ed piece in support of this. Why are you in support of this?
Well, one reason is that I'm a former church organist, a very bad one, I might say. But anyway, I've had to sit through, 35 years of unbelievably banal and badly performed folk-style music. And I say folk-style because it bears very little relation to actual folk music. This is music churned out by composers who sort of came to maturity in the 1960s and 70s and who still write music. Well, they either force music that was written in the 1970s on us or still write music that is in that style. Most of it pretty banal, and even to sound halfway decent, it needs a good performance, which it just doesn't receive. And I think that's driving people away from church, actually. The sound of these dreadful folk masses, most of which are less musically distinguished than your average advertising jingle, is just particularly getting on the nerves of young people.
All right, well, let's take a listen to what you're talking about. Here's some music from Marty Haugen.
New light is streaming. Now is the darkness vanished away. See in this space our fears and our dreamings brought here to you in the light of this day.
Gather us in the lost and forsaken. Gather us in the blind and the lame. Call to us now and we shall awaken. We shall arise at the sound of our name.
I must say that's a little painful.
I didn't hear it, and I'm glad I didn't. Okay. I mean, the problem is not Marty Haugen performing his own stuff.
It is Marty Haugen, and it was called Gather Us In. Are you familiar with that?
No, what I mean is the problem is just imagine when that is being performed not by Marty Haugen,
right,
but by, you know, a parish choir with few musical gifts, to be frank.
They're
excruciating.
It's kind of guitar-heavy, and you specifically would like to banish the guitar from the Mass, yeah?
Well, I think we've had 40 years of guitars in church, and I've yet to hear a guitar used to effect in church. So I think we've had enough. That's enough guitars already.
Okay. With us here in the studio is William Berger, a composer and author of several books, Puccini Without Excuses and Wagner Without Fear. He's also an amateur chorister. Welcome to Soundcheck, Will.
Hi, thanks. Got to correct you, though. Not a composer, just someone who listens a lot.
Okay.
Okay.
What do you think of folk music like what we just heard?
You know, he's got a lot of good points, Damien, and you've heard it. It's not contemptible. It may have a place, but he has a very good point, Damien, that, you know, this is not new. We've been at this for 40 years, and we have probably reaped all the benefits we can at this point. I think Damien's right that the congregations are probably ready for something new. And, you know, it's very extraordinary. You mentioned Marty Haugen, who is a very prolific composer, not Catholic, I might add, and has a remarkable, unbelievable luck on American church music, and according to Damien, even beyond America. If you're ever in a liturgy committee or a music committee and you try and change it, people really hold on to it. They get very angry if they don't hear Gather Us In, which I've sung probably 10,000 times.
It seems to me that, you know, Damien's point is, you know, you may have a great Broadway musical, but if it's done by a regional theater group in East Podunk, it's going to sound pretty bad.
Well, I wonder if, yes, of course it is, but that would
nothing
be
nothing against East Podunk, because we
love
you. East Podunk.
Yeah, you're nuts. We love you. But that would certainly be even more true of Gregorian chant and Baroque masses, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
So I'm hoping that the church is also planning to get behind music training and music education for the young, because that's sorely lacking in the secular system. And that would be really exciting. But I haven't heard anything about that. Have you?
I've not. Damien?
No. First of all, I so agree that point about the way these composers have got a lock on liturgy. And in England, we have there are dreadful composers who are earning vast sums of money simply because the bishops always turn to them. So there's a sort of horrible cartel of this bad music. I would be the first one to agree that an amateur choir performing a Mozart mass can be just as painful as listening to a folk mass.
You've heard me,
so,
then.
You know, you really do need people to be properly trained. And also you need new music to be written that is actually worth singing and worth listening to.
What about that, Will? I mean, you made a suggestion that seemed to me to come out of left field. Brian Eno.
I made the suggestion that this sort of thing should be considered, and I'm not hearing it from the Vatican. In other words, I think Damien's right. It's not so much a matter of turning back the clock. It's a matter of embracing the tradition and, at the same time, exploring new music. There was a time when the Vatican was the world leader in developing new music. I'd love to see that again. And, yeah, I put out Brian Eno as concept because if if we go along with what we're supposed to be getting in the music, why not? It would work perfectly.
Well, let's take a listen to a little bit of Brian Eno, see what you're talking about.
Passing hours, everything matters with the night. I stand on the beach, giving up descriptions, different for everyone I see. Since I just can't remember, longer than last September,
Damien, what's your reaction to that? Damien, you with us?
Remind me not to buy a CD of his music. Actually, to be honest, a lot of the drivel we hear at the moment does sound rather like that. In other words, that's the sort of stuff that is being turned into church music at the moment, unfortunately.
So is it your feeling, Damien, that we should revert to Gregorian chant and that's the only option?
No, it's absolutely not my feeling. I'm not. Mm-hmm. I have to say I'm an absolute heretic. I was forced to sing a tremendous amount of Gregorian chant at school, and I got rather sick of it, I have to be honest. If it's done well, it's fine, but I'm not sure it's the answer. I like hymns. I know hymns come basically from the Protestant tradition, but I think people enormously enjoy singing good, rousing, moving hymns. There are many beautiful Catholic hymns. I'd like to see better use made of them, and I would like to see new composers producing something worthwhile. I think perhaps one of the reasons we're not hearing that from the Vatican is that all sorts of very, very bad liturgical composers have wheeled out their stuff at papal ceremonies, and I think Pope Benedict has just had enough of contemporary church composers. We're looking for new people. One of my friends is a concert pianist called Stephen Huff. He's a Catholic. He's started writing church music. Some of that is very, very fine. We need to start looking in unexpected places for great music.
Let's hear from some of you. What do you think about the Pope's plan to overhaul music in the Vatican? Give us a call at 212-264-7483. That's 212-264-7483. Or you can leave a comment on the Soundcheck page on our website at WNYC.org. Will, I saw you nodding a little bit at what Damien was just saying.
Nodding out?
No, nodding.
Oh, yeah. Man, I agree with everything except Brandon. It was drivel. I had suggested the non-vocal
I must say that was a little painful.
Painful? You're all very sensitive today.
Yeah, I
okay.
think so.
What I'm talking about is music that can move beyond rhythm and change keys and have a very transcendental quality to it, I think would be something to explore. But let's be honest, that's not what the Pope is talking about.
Yeah.
And I'm not, I would be very surprised if the good new music that Damien's talking about is supported. I think we're talking about a kind of a reaction and a fossilization.
What's your reaction to that comment, Damien? You agree with that?
Nah, I don't know. You could be right. I fear you're right.
We'll see. We have.
It seems like there's more of a cultural divide that's or cultural battle that's being fought in the world of music.
I mean,
or
I
through
think
music.
The first thing I would like to see is the old cartel of liturgical composers broken up. I would like to see the books flung out of churches. I think we've got to get across the message that tired liturgical reformed folk, as it's sometimes called, from the 1960s and 70s, that era is finished. Nobody likes it. Nobody listens to it in the outside world. Why should people hear it in church? It bears no relation to any musical movement of any significance that I can think of. Where we go from here, I'm not sure, but certainly there is an important role for the rediscovery of the church's musical heritage. But the church has got to keep on creating music, because after all, Palestrina nearly didn't, you know, the great polyphonic composers nearly didn't get the chance to write music because the church very nearly banned liturgical music in the 16th century or original compositions in the 16th century. We've got to find a new way of expressing ourselves in music that people actually want to listen to.
All right, let me get some callers in here. Jill is calling us from New Jersey. Jill, welcome to Soundcheck.
Hi, thank you. I've never called in before, but this conversation definitely moved me to call.
Cool, welcome.
I'm a classically trained singer, and I have been a church cantor for all through my teens and all through my 20s. I'm 36, about to be 36 now. And I have to say, I think I completely agree with the whole cartel concept, but I also think part of it with the music being so poor is that unlike some other churches and other religious, you know, denominations, they don't pay their musicians in Catholic churches. And I really believe that really drastically, negatively affects the quality of the music.
Good point, Jill. Thanks very much.
Thank
you. You nodded there. You reacted to that, Will.
I had said earlier that if we want to see a musical revolution and better music in the churches, we're going to have to back it up with our resources, our time, our will, and, yeah, some money.
Train some people and maybe pay some people.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
Such good sense, and it applies in England and Wales as well. The church wastes so much money on bureaucracy. Let's spend some of it on music.
Eileen has a good point. Eileen is joining us from Long Island. Eileen, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you.
So you're saying it all depends on where you're coming from.
Right. I think that one of the things that we have to think about is what is our understanding of liturgy and the participation. Is the music participation or is it performance? And are we coming to church to hear a choir perform? And I certainly think there's a point for that. But I also think the music of Marty Hagen and David Haas and people like that, people like it because when they come to church, they feel that they can participate, they can sing along. And a lot of that music is based on the Psalms, and it's a very prayerful type music. So I want to say that I think that our understanding of liturgy is very important, and if people are coming to liturgy, they should be able to participate and to sing along. So I think there's a place for both.
That's a good point, Eileen. Thanks for calling. Damien?
Yeah, I have a big problem with that point, though, I have to say.
You disagree?
I strongly disagree in the sense that what bothers me, and I'm not having a go at Eileen, but what bothers me is that so many folk musicians, parish directors of music, think of themselves as liturgical musicians, think of themselves really as sort of directors of worship. And when they talk about participation in the congregation, very often what it means is a small gang of people in the parish telling other people what to do. You will sing Marty Hagen. You will enjoy this music. This is what you like listening to. And I don't think anybody's actually asked people in the parish what they like listening to. And I think if you ask the younger worshippers, they might get the shock of their lives.
Eileen's point, I think, was how does the individual approach the church, whether they're going there to listen to professional musicians and singers or whether they're going there to share that experience.
Well, either is appropriate because the Pope has made it clear in his writings that listening to professional musicians can be a form of sacred participation. It is not the same thing as going to a concert. When you listen to a beautiful mass performed in a liturgical context, you're not experiencing that music in the same way. It's an act of worship. But also, of course, there is a role for people participating, for singing and performing themselves. It's just that, and you find this in the evangelical churches of America, which have quite high musical standards. It's just that, you know, to make musical accessible and enjoyable to everybody, the standards have got to be high. The standards are high in the entertainment industry, by and large. Certainly, technically, they're very high. And they've fallen so far behind in the Catholic Church. You get people who basically are not musically proficient, leading, having the nerve to lead a congregation in worship and basically tell them how they should be worshiping God. And that really annoys me.
You're listening to Soundcheck on WNYC. I'm David Cruz in for John Schaefer, and we're joined by Damien Thompson and Will Berger. Let's get another phone call in here. Mike is in New Jersey. Mike, welcome to Soundcheck.
Oh, hi. How you doing?
Very good. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I'm actually a weird hybrid. I actually was a guitar player in a folk group when I was younger, but then I studied classical composition at Rutgers. And I got to tell you that I way grew out of the folk thing early, but to try to get new music written for the church, almost impossible. Almost impossible. You know,
you mean artistically or
well, I mean just financially. No one
business
wants to
wise.
Pay business, every way. I mean, new music is really shunned, and no one wants to pay you. No one wants to throw some money your way to write something. You know, a good piece of music, a good mass. I mean, I studied with Charles Warren, and I can't stand serialism. But so I mean, there's room. There's big room. Like Arvo Part is alive and writing great sacred music.
Funny right? You should mention him.
So I love him to death. He was big influence. Great guy.
All right, Mike. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
You were saying, well,
yeah. Arvo Part was another suggestion that I would be amazed if the Pope approached him or any of the wonderful Estonian Baltic composers that are coming out with a lot of sacred music for new Catholic music. I would be impressed, but I'm not counting on that.
Right. You know, Damien, you made a point, and if you could just kind of talk about it quickly, about this kind of cozy relationship between the church and composers.
Oh, it's absolutely sickening. I see these composers exercising, in some cases, really considerable authority, as they call themselves liturgists. And in some cases, I mean, for example, we have a composer called Paul Inwood in Britain, who's become the director of liturgy. He's trained as a musician, but nothing else. He's become director of liturgy for a diocese and is trying to block the reintroduction of the Latin Mass, which is he's not in a position to do. But yes, I mean, the Church in England and Wales is run by a cozy club of people who have the same ideas. And it doesn't matter whether you're into liturgy, whether you're into architecture, whether you're into music. The bishops have their gang, and the commissions go to their gang.
All right. Well, that's all the time we're going to have for this very interesting topic. Damian Thompson is a writer for London's Daily Telegraph and editor-in-chief of the Catholic Herald. Damian, thanks for being with us.
It's been a pleasure.
Will Berger is an author of several books, including Puccini Without Excuses and Bogner Without Fear. Thanks very much for being with us, Will.
Thank you. Thanks for bringing up the topic. Good debate.
Still to come on Soundcheck, we've heard about the Pope's position on sacred music. What does the Bible say about music? We'll get one humorous take on this. And then later, singer-songwriter Nicole Atkins pays homage to her home state of New Jersey on her new album. She'll perform live with us next on Soundcheck.